You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Bard.
Cry of a people in the anguish of tribulation to the glorious triumph of their coming King. That's how our teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, describes the shift that we see today as our study of Psalm 44 concludes and we move into Psalm 45. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you to another great adventure in God's Word. Now, as you find your seat on the Bible bus and you turn to the Psalms, I want to share a few letters from our fellow passengers. Here's one from Roberta in Massachusetts, who recently emailed to say, Christ is risen, and God is moving like wildfire around the globe. I bawled my eyes out listening to a recent report by Stephen Gregg. It's scary good. So wonderful, it reminds me of my favorite book, Revelation. Powerful, exciting, revealing, and amazing. Glory to God. I will be praying about all of it. Thank you, and thank you, Lord God of heaven. Well, thanks, Roberta. I agree, it's exciting to see that God is at work, and we are all privileged to play a part, aren't we? Next, we hear from Matt in Michigan. I've been listening for 10 years now and appreciate your mobile app. At first, it was on and off, but now for the last 5 years, it's been every day. I really enjoy your program. It's helped me get to know the Bible, and I enjoy Dr. McGee's unique personality. Your program has also helped me have assurance of my salvation. Without Dr. McGee's constant teaching on the eternal security of the believer, I'd be a lost and depressed person. Thanks for your ministry. It is a joy to ride the Bible bus, and it's a new adventure every day. Please send me a pack of Bible bus passes so I can share the program with others. Well, that's a great note, Matt. Your passes are on the way, by the way. And if you'd like to share this journey with others as well, you can request a pack of our Bible bus passes. Those have got a little QR code on them, and that points them to our website with links, and you can download the program from there on a mobile app. Just call 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll get them out to you right away. Next, we've got Shirley in Spokane Valley, Washington, and she wrote to tell her Through the Bible story. My mother was born in 1906 and went home to Jesus in January 1987. I'm now 87 years old, and I still miss her. She listened many years to you every day after we moved to town and had electricity. I lived my first 16 years without electricity or plumbing. Because of my mama's devotion and faithfulness in serving the Lord, I became a Christian at the young age of 12. When I married and had my own family, I also listened to Dr. McGee, and now my grown children and their families are on the Bible bus too. Thank you for being faithful and a part of our home story all these years. Please keep on keeping on. God bless you all. Well, thanks, Shirley. We're so glad to have your family as part of our listening family as well. Now, our last letter is from Jay in Orlando. He writes, Jesus Christ is the best thing to ever happen to me. I first listened to Dr. McGee in 2018. It is a must for me to stay on board the Bible bus. I really cannot put into words how my heart sings and feels for Almighty Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot tell you exactly what He does for me, but it is more than I can comprehend. I do know this, my life has meaning, purpose, and hope solely because of Him. He loved me that much that He spoke me into existence and then sends me Jesus to secure my eternity. Jay then continues, I didn't understand justification and sanctification before Dr. McGee. I really can't put into words how instrumental His teaching is in helping my journey with God. This is some good stuff. I call this some good cooking. I am blessed. God blessed me, yes. God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ is an ongoing, constant, and continuous blessing to me. Wow, just wow. Much love to all of you. Well, I certainly share your enthusiasm for God's Word, Jay. It's so great to study with you. Well, let's now pray and let's get the Bible bus rolling. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. It's making such a difference in our lives. Through your Holy Spirit, would you help us to understand the treasure that you have for us in Jesus Christ? It's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our attention now to Psalm 44 and 45 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we return back to the 44th Psalm. And as we indicated last time, that this very wonderful Psalm, we hear Israel during the Great Tribulation calling upon God to deliver them, just as He did in Egypt in the past. And it closes with a great cry to redeem, and it furnishes the introduction to the 45th Psalm, one of the great messianic psalms, one of the high points of the Word of God, and we'll be coming to that now today. So let me move on in this 44th Psalm. And you will recall that the children of Israel, just as Gideon had done in that day, Gideon said, well, where is the Lord that performed miracles for us that our fathers told us about? Well, in the great tribulation, they'll think maybe God has forgotten them. But he hasn't forgotten them. And you will find here in this psalm, right in the center of it, they not only look back, but they look forward in great faith. And believe me, this is great faith, especially in the time of the great tribulation. And they claim him as their king, although at this time he has not come. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. That's verse 4. And through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Now they will feel in that day the godly remnant. They are asking for revenge. They're under the law, and they have a right to do that. And we today are to pray for those that deceitfully use us. We are told even actually to love our enemies. Now, that's a very difficult thing to do, but we can turn them over to the Lord. And he's told us, avenge not yourselves. Why? Because we are to turn it over to him, because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And I feel like we need to turn a great many folk over to the Lord and commit them to him, not only for salvation, not only God's people for our keeping, but for those today that cause us trouble. Now, I don't mean for some personal grievance, but who actually are trying to hinder out the giving of the Word of God. It's a terrible thing today to try to blacken the name of either a man or a woman who stand for the things of God. Now, I believe you ought to be very careful before you criticize your pastor. You ought to be very sure that what you're saying is the truth, because to some people, he represents God's cause on this earth, and they'll judge God largely by what he says, and if you discredit him. I think that's the reason that a great many young people have turned off the Bible in the church, is because they have sat in a home where they've had Christian parents, but those Christian parents served up roast preacher each Sunday. And believe me, that diet gets old, and it's tough. Most of us preachers are really tough, and we don't taste very good. We recognize that, but it's wrong to discredit a man who's giving out the Word of God. So here we see that they are asking for God to intervene. Now we move down in this psalm, and I do want to move down to the very end of it. In verse 22, they're in deep trouble now, and we see them actually in the time of great trouble. The enemy is raging against them. That little horn that Daniel mentioned, that Daniel says will wear out the saints of the Most High. They're in trouble. These are Jewish saints, and he makes war with them to overcome them, and they are warned not to fight back. And they refuse the mark of the beast, and they've been killed in large numbers, and they're crying out to God. This is the darkest moment, I think, in the history of the world. And listen now to verse 22. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's not quite a picture of the church right now, would you say? There are some suffering, and there's some suffering for Christ's sake, too, by the way. And there are many today, I think, that are. But by and large, the church is not in this position. What the nation Israel will be, that is the remnant. And I want to keep that very clear. We're talking about the remnant. And when we talk about the church, we're not talking about the total number of church members, our total number of churches. Verse 23, he says, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Here is a cry for God to wake up, as it were. Well, God is not asleep. It's in their desperation that they do this. At the time that the Maccabees came to the foreground in Israel, and this is between the Old and New Testament, and that, by the way, as far as the past is concerned, was probably the time that they suffered more than they have at any time in their past history. But it'll be nothing compared to the Great Tribulation period. And they had then a group of priests that were called the Wakers. And they were the ones that cried out to God. And they raised the cry of prayer, "Wake, why sleepest thou, O Lord?" And in that day, they felt like God was asleep. But John Hyrcanus, one of the great Maccabees, had this to say to them. He says, "Does the deity sleep? Hath not the scripture said, Behold, the keeper of Israel slumbereth and sleepeth not?" And that, by the way, broke up that group of the Wakers. You don't have to ask God to wake up, but certainly there are times you feel like it, and the people at this time will feel that way. Listen to them, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord?" Well, he's not asleep. He's getting ready to move. "Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." Now, this is a cry that comes probably at the darkest moment in the history of this world. And it's at this time the king comes. This is the time that he breaks through. And that brings us now to Psalm 45. This is a messianic psalm so quoted in the New Testament. It's by the sons of Korah. And it's also a psalm to the chief musician upon Shoshanim. And Shoshanim means lilies. It's a picture of Christ as the Messiah. He's the lily of the valley as well as the rose of Sharon, you know. And the Targum says here that in translating this, "Thy beauty, O King Messiah, is greater than that of the children of men." Now, as we come to this 45th psalm, we come to a very wonderful, wonderful psalm, and we'll just stay here for the rest of this period today. Because this psalm now speaks of the second coming of Christ. And here the entire tenor and tone of the psalms change. Up to this time it's been these people in tribulation. Now this looks to the future. This speaks of his advent in glory, his coming as king. You have it in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of it also. And this is the hope of the world. Now, here, "Thy beauty," verse 2, it says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever." Now, where it says that, here's where the Chaldean Targum says, "Thy beauty, O King Messiah, is greater than the sons of men." The Lord Jesus says in prophecy in the Song of Solomon, "I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley." And you remember when he was here, he says, "Consider the lilies of the field." And when you're thinking of the lilies of the field, consider him. And that's what we do in this psalm here. Now, listen to him in verse 1. "My heart is overflowing with a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." It's a very interesting thing here. He says, "My heart's just overflowing. I just got something I must say, and I wish I could tell it to you because my tongue moves faster than my pen does." And I think that's true for many of us. And have you ever been very excited about something? You write a friend, and then you look at what you've written, and you say, "I wish I could tell it to him." And just this day, while I've been making this tape, I wanted to write a friend of mine down in Florida, and I decided not to write him because I couldn't say what I wanted to say, so I just called him by telephone. And the psalmist here couldn't call us by telephone, so he's given us the 45th psalm. Now you'll have in verses 2 through 5, you have the Messiah, his person and power. Then you have the Messiah, his government and glory, 6 through 8. Then you have the Messiah, his companions, and church, verses 9 through 17. Now you'll notice what he says here again in verse 2. "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." This is a love song. And this is to be occupied with a person. Remember, Paul mentioned that in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, about beholding as in a mirror the Lord Jesus, and we're changed from glory to glory. We need to behold him more. Now, we are seeing him here not as Savior, but as King. Verse 3, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Now, here's when he comes forward. He's coming forth here not as Savior. He's coming forth as the King in his second coming. And we need, I think, a correct perspective of Christ. Before, you'll recall, they expected a Messiah with a sword. He came without a sword. You remember, he says, put up thy sword. He said, if I needed any help, we'd have legions of angels here. He said, they that take the sword will perish with the sword. Now, today, they expect a Messiah without a sword, just bringing peace. Well, he's coming this next time. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's Psalm 2, where he's coming the second time. And that's quoted several times in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, in respect to his second coming. Now, when he returns, he's going to find the world in rebellion. Antichrist is in power and persecuting God's people, both the remnant of Israel and that great company of Gentiles that have turned to God. Now, grace is in his lips. There's also condemnation and judgment, too. But our attention is called to this. I think we ought to be realistic, not idealistic. How else will he come to power? He'll have to come to power because the wrath of the Lamb is being now displayed against a world that's in rebellion against him. And we're told here in verse 4, and let me read that, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee awe-inspiring things. I like that translation a little better. Now notice, he's riding to victory, and here's his platform. Truth, meekness, righteousness. These are the three planks in his platform. Do you know any candidate today that's using these three planks in his platform? They don't sound meek to me, and truth, I wonder, and righteousness, well, that's not the motive. The whole motive today is not to do right. It's to get elected. And, oh, how this poor nation of ours needs a candidate who will speak truth, who exhibits a little meekness, and who goes out for righteousness. These are eternal principles of his kingdom. And they're enduring that. No president, no leader, no dictator, no king ever comes to power on this platform in the history of this world. And that's the reason he's different. The character of Christ, he is the truth. His words are truth. And he's made a liar in this world today. But all men are liars, not Christ. And you won't hear the truth today in the halls of Congress or in the marts of trade, are on Wall Street, are in our industrial complexes, are on our college campuses, are in the newspaper, or on the TV or the radio. All news is slanted today, and you won't hear it in a great many churches. He's coming to power on truth, and he's coming to power on this matter of humility, meekness. And humility is something that we need today. It's something that someone has said, if you wish to astonish the whole world, tell the truth. And that's the way he's coming, to power. And I tell you, it'll be startling too. Now we are told, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby thy people fall under thee. This is the picture now of his coming to this earth. Now notice the next section here, verse 6 through 8. You have the government and the glory of the Messiah. This is his coronation day, and this is the key of the psalm. Listen, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. He's going to rule in righteousness. We haven't had that yet either. And the need of the world today is a righteous ruler, and God has that one. The Lord Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And not until then will we have peace on this earth. That's the need of the world. When Betsy Ross made the first American flag, George Washington expressed the wish it would wave 1,000 years. We just celebrated the 200th anniversary, and we are already growing old as a nation. But this is the eternal government of God. He's the anointed one. Have you noticed how he's spoken of? Anointed, it means Messiah, means Christ. It's not a name. That's his official title. He came as a prophet. He's the messenger and message of God. That speaks of the past. He is today our great high priest. He's at the right hand of God. That's for the present. But he's coming as king, the Messiah. That's for the future. Now we're told here the oil of gladness. He's anointed with the oil of gladness. We always think of him as a man of sorrows. I think he was the most joyous person on this earth when he came. Will you notice this? God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they made thee glad. And he came that the joy might be full when he came to this earth. And it was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We need a rejoicing church. Israel in the wilderness. Judah, which means praise, led the wilderness march. They complained, they whined, and sang the desert blues, but they should have been praising God, and that's what the church should be doing today. We have a hymn that we sing at Christmas time, and it's not a Christmas hymn at all. Joy to the world, the Savior's come. That refers to his second coming, not his first coming at all. You read that Christmas hymn, and maybe you'll want to save it for another occasion. Now we're told here as we move down, and I must move down in this psalm. It's such a wonderful psalm. In verse 9, we have a scene at the court. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Now the church is not mentioned by name in the Old Testament. You always see it in type or in figures of speech. No other way. I think most of the brides in the Old Testament are pictures of the church. Eve is, of course. And I think there are others that are. Ruth, in the little book of Ruth. And who is the queen here? Well, I think it's really a picture of the church. And she's not identified. And Christ will lift the church to the throne. And we're told here, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people, thy father's house. Well, we are to leave the world. We are saved out of the world. We are loved not the world. We are to cling to him. Now the church is to be made beautiful. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Oh, what a picture that you have here. Sin is removed in that day. And then we come down to this very last verse that is here, and that is verse 17. And I probably ought to just say a word. Well, I'd love to deal with more of it, but let me take the last verse. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. It is the millennial kingdom. But the millennial kingdom goes on into eternity after he makes a few adjustments. After Satan is turned loose, and then he's again cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This, my friend, is a glorious psalm. When you put it back in its perspective, it has a great meaning for us today. And I trust that we see it in its perspective. We'll go on from there next time, Psalm 46. May the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Until then, for more information on Through the Bible's ministry and the resources that we offer to help you deepen your love of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. And remember, you can also reach us by mail. Our address is Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. And when you're in touch, be sure to share how you study with us. Is it by app? Is it online? Is it YouVersion? Maybe it's our Bible companions. Maybe it's your favorite Christian radio station. You know, there are so many great options. What's your favorite? Thanks in advance, by the way, for helping us be good stewards as we continue our mission of sharing God's whole word with this whole world. I'm Steve Schwetz, so grateful for your company on the Bible Bus. I'll be here next time, Lord willing, and I'll save you a seat.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I own. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Soon and very soon,
the Lord in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our honor and praise. Praise his name. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church services start on Sunday, every Sunday, at 11 o'clock sharp. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank God for the great opportunity. We thank him for bringing us here safely over the highways here. We thank him all and everything that he's done, and we give him all the praise because he is the only one that deserves the honor and the glory. We thank him for it. Praise God. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one in whom I serve and is his child, I thank you and praise you this morning. I ask your blessing to be upon the listeners out there that have tuned in to the broadcast. I thank you, Lord, that you will anoint them this morning, anoint their ears, and anoint their hearts, Lord, that they would hear and receive the unadulterated word of God, because the word changes lives. And when we receive your word, our lives can be changed. We thank you and praise you right now in Jesus' name. I bind the hands of the enemy, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the one that tries to steal the word of God out of those that have heard and have not received it. Lord, I pray right now that the blood of Jesus be against it in Jesus' mighty name, because the blood has power. We give the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise and honor and glory today for everything that he has done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. We want to talk today about the word of God that will change your life. If you believe what the word says, it will change you. Praise God. Many people today said that they have received the word, but yet their lives are still the same way it was prior to their confession. But I tell you today that we have to walk in what we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he comes into your life, glory to God, he will change. The word changes us. We cannot fake it until we make it. We have to believe it and receive it and walk in the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise his wonderful name. We want to look at the word in Romans, the 10th chapter. We want to look at what Apostle Paul was giving to us. And this is truth, the word of God. And I want to tell you today that if you just turn your heart to what God's word says, receive it, your life will be changed. No ifs, buts, and ands about it. Your life will be changed. And never believe anything that a person is saying if there's no indication of them receiving this word and their lives being changed. In every given situation, give me the word. Praise God, because the word changes our lives. And Minister Gloria, it's a wonderful thing to know that when we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he has come into our lives, he changes us.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We don't change ourselves. The word has the power to do exactly what it says that it will do.
Praise God.
That it will change. Will change us. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, before we get into Romans, the 10th chapter, I want to look at how powerful this word is. And I would like for you to read in Hebrew 4 and verse 12, which is a very familiar verse of scripture here that I believe every child of God should have meditated on this word, praise God, this verse of scripture here, because the word tells us that the word of God, now you mean to tell me if you receive the word of God in your heart that this powerful word will not change your life? Of course it will. If you believe it, receive it, and walk in it. So what does this say there?
It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Okay, so first of all, the word is the word of God.
Yes.
And the word is alive.
Amen.
That's what it says. When it's quick, it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to tell you, this word cuts going out and it cuts coming in. It's a double-edged sword.
Yes.
Praise God. That's what the word is. And that's what should be gone forth out of our mouths. Amen. Praise God. That two-edged sword. Go ahead, Minister. Go
piercing on. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Look at what it has. It has a penetrating effect. Piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It goes all the way down to the marrow of the bone.
Amen.
Now tell me something. If you receive this word in your life, this word will change you. Praise God. We cannot fool anyone if we have this word in our heart. I remember in Psalms 119, verse 11, there, where the psalmist was saying, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. My God, I'm telling you, this word is powerful.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Minister Glory. It penetrates. It has a piercing effect.
Mm-hmm.
Cut soul and spirit.
And of joints and marrow.
Joints, you know, joints and marrow, that's, you know, that's the marrow in the bone.
Yes.
That's where a lot the blood is being processed in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, the marrow.
Yes.
This word is like an x-ray machine. It just go right through you.
Amen.
You can't fool anybody if you have not received this word. You can be a little religious for a while, but mm-hmm. later on, folks will see what's going on. That the word, if it's in your heart, in your life, it will change you, praise God. Now, what else, Minister?
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
It discerns. It's a seer. It sees. It sees what's in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It discerner, and it sees what's in the mind. And it sees everything.
Yes.
It's a discerner of the thoughts and even your intention. Whatever your intentions are, that's how powerful this word of God is. So what's happening is that when we receive this word, ask that word to come into our lives, the word will change us. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word will change us.
That's right.
You know, and when people are saying, well, they've received the word, you know, that you don't have to say anything because we have no right to judge anyone but
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we judge ourselves, we won't be condemned with the world. So the most important thing is that when this word is in your life or in my life,
yes,
as a child of God, there's
mm-hmm.
a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a lot of times when this word here, a lot of times people play with this word. But I want to tell you, you're playing with yourself.
Praise
you're
God.
You're playing with your eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Because God knows everything. The scriptures already told us. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
And yeah. You know what, Pastor? The word is Jesus. So once you receive Jesus by faith, then you read your word.
Yes. Well, that is true. He is the word.
He is the word.
The scriptures tells us that in St. John 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. But the most important thing is that when we receive
mm-hmm.
the word of God,
yes,
it's what I'm focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you cannot fool anyone.
No.
Because the way that you once were, you no longer is. It may not be proper grammar, but that's where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you once were, and when you receive this life-changing word,
mm-hmm.
it will change you, praise
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what people may think, they'll see this gradual change. Now, I'm not talking about an overnight thing because that's not what's going on. It's a process. But when I say you open your mouth, said, Lord Jesus, come in, change my life. Listen, he's the word, and he'll come in, and he'll change your life.
Praise God. That wonderful? That's all right.
He'll change your life.
Yes,
praise
he will.
God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking from experience, praise God. Mm-hmm. Not anything that I'm guessing, that this is the truth of God's word.
Praise
it will come in and change your life. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So we thank the Lord for the opportunity that he has chosen us to handle his word.
Praise God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus was saying there in St. John, the 15th chapter there, mm-hmm. praise God.
Yes.
You want to look at that in verse 7. We'll come back mm-hmm. to Romans 10. I just want to kind of lay some groundwork here that when we begin to believe what the word says, the word will change our lives. And when we begin to receive this word and keep it in our mouths, what happened is that we can ask God for whatever it is that's needed.
That's right.
And through our obedience unto what his word says, we'll have it. Praise God. It may take a little time, but we'll have it.
Yep.
Because with the immutabilities of two things, it is impossible for God to lie.
True.
Amen. He cannot lie. And that it tells us that in Hebrew, the sixth chapter there, I think verse 18 or 19, somewhere around in there, that God cannot lie. There's a strong consolation. God cannot lie.
Two immutable things.
Yes, with two immutable things. In other words,
cannot change.
Cannot change. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's immutability, mm-hmm. you know, God doesn't mutate. You know, what he says is what it is. And he cannot lie. So if he said that his word is powerful, that's exactly what it is. If he says that if you receive his word, it will change your life. Let's look at St. John 7 there. 15 and verse 7.
Yes, if you abide in me.
Yes.
See, if qualifier.
Yes.
And my words abide in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
That's the word. If you abide in what?
In him, in Jesus.
So he is the word.
Yes, he is.
And we have to live in this word here.
Amen.
You know, it's a strong thing there. Well, we look at what's happening and we said, well, how can I live in him? Well, he's not physically speaking of himself.
No.
Per se, he's speaking of his word because he is the word of God.
Right.
Amen. He is the word. So when we abide in him and let his word live in us, then we can ask what we will and it'll be done for
Praise
us.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. That's why you can't fake this word. Now let's go back to Romans.
Yes.
The 10th chapter because it's so powerful. Now I want you to begin to read at the 8th verse there.
Praise okay. God. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Glory to God. So what happens is that when we receive this word, it comes into our heart. Praise God. So Paul is saying to the church of Rome there, he is saying the word is nigh thee. It's near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Well, I want to stop there for a moment because, first of all, what's in your heart mm-hmm. will come out of your mouth.
That's right.
You know, I remember talking to a particular person and they were talking about how much word they have, but what was happening is that it wasn't in the abundance. Mm-hmm. You see, it wasn't in the abundance. Yet they had the word, but they also had other things. So mm-hmm. what happened is that when you have the word in your heart, and the scripture tells us is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when you have the word in abundance in your heart, it'll come out your mouth. Mm-hmm. It'll come out your mouth. That's all that will be coming out your mouth is the word of God. So you can tell when folks have whatever it is in their heart. You don't know their heart until they start speaking. And what's happening is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Paul is saying here, he said, well, what saved it?
Mm-hmm.
The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and your heart, the word of faith which we preach.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. The word of faith. The word of faith. This is why when we speak God's word there, it has to be done by faith.
Hallelujah.
So you want to read the next verse, Minister Carter?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Now, let me just ask you a question here. And all those out there in Radio Land, if you're listening to this broadcast, please pay attention here, because what's happening is that if you got the word in your heart, praise God, it'll come out your mouth. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And I tell you something else, Minister Roy, what's happening is that people hear the word, and then the thief comes to steal it.
That's right.
See, if you don't believe what the word of God says, he'll come and steal it out of your heart.
That's right.
Unless you believe and be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what the scripture says.
That's right.
Amen. That's what scripture says. Mm-hmm. So that's why we can't just vacillate with this word here. Either we believe it or we don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
That's
so when you receive it, then let it get into your heart. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And another thing,
yes.
A person, when circumstances come and get overwhelmed, they forget about the word and think about their circumstance. So this can hinder you from believing what the word of God says as well.
That is true. The scripture tells us there that, you know, there are folks on the wayside there. See, and I think Luke was making a mention of that too. In I think it's in Luke the eighth chapter there.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the wayside, they hear the word. And but see, you can't just hear this word, you gotta either receive it. Matter of fact, James also talks about James 1 and verse 22,
mm-hmm.
where he talks about be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Mm-hmm.
So we just can't hear this word. And a lot of folks today say, oh, well, I'm going to church so I can hear the word. No, you want to hear it and let it get into your spirit and live this word.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Become a doer of it. Now, there's wayside there in Luke 8 there.
Right.
Would you read that, Dennis?
Okay. Okay, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved.
Now, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just as clear as the nose on your face there. I don't want to be no wayside, Trish.
No.
I don't want to just hear the word and do nothing with it. The word comes in. The word has the power to change your life. So you hear it, you believe it, and become a doer of what you heard.
Amen.
Amen. That's why Romans 10 and 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's clear. I just wanted to validate that verse of scripture there so that our listening audience out there won't just say, well, he's just saying something out of the top of his head. No, the scriptures are very clear.
Mm-hmm. And then what I had mentioned about choke with the cares of this world.
Yes.
It says, and they that fell among thorns are they which they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Amen.
Well, do you think that I don't say, I should not say, don't do you think, but the word will produce in your life if you really believe it.
Amen.
Because, amen.
Yeah, the word has life.
Yes, the word has life. Praise God.
Amen. And then we have the ones that are tempted, and they fall away. Those on the rock, the stony ground, which they hear, receive the word with joy, and have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away.
Yeah, that's why we have to be extremely careful, put our trust in the Lord. Just lay at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I belong to you. You are my protector. You are my deliverer. And everything else is falling down around you, but you still have your faith in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, let's go back to Romans, the 10th chapter there. Now, mm-hmm. Paul says here in the 8th verse, he says, what saith it? What are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
That this word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith we preach. Praise God. And then he tells them in the next verse there, he says, if you confess with your mouth. You see, if you confess with your mouth, well, what are you saying with your mouth? Everybody got mouths.
Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart.
Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. He says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and then see, you have to believe.
Mm-hmm. Must believe.
You just can't say something and don't believe it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on today. A lot of folks are saying things. And how you know that they're just saying something is because they say one thing and then they're doing something else. So that really, we have to look, even question our own selves concerning what's coming out of our mouths, you know, because the word should be in our mouths and in our heart.
Yes.
Amen. And it should be there in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I said in abundance.
Yes.
We should keep filling our heart with the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Letting it come in there so it can root out whatever it is, unbelief and all kind of other things there that have no eternal value to them. And just push out.
Mm-hmm.
Because every tree or everything that's been planted in us by the enemy, listen, has to be rooted up. It has to get out of there.
Yes.
And this word, once it gets in, meditating on it and get into our heart, and that's what will be coming out of our mouth.
Praise
now, I'm not talking about going around here being religious or not. You have a vocabulary in the natural because God gave you words. But what I'm speaking of is things that pertaining to the kingdom of God. You know, that's what should come out of our mouth. We shouldn't be walking with doubt and unbelief or afraid to say something. No, don't do that. Speak the word. Praise God. Speak the word. That's what the centurion told Jesus there. In Matthew, the 8th chapter there, he told him, said, no, just speak a word. You know, isn't that something? That's powerful.
That is powerful.
Just speak the word.
Mm-hmm.
I have a servant that is lying, that's home lying sick of the palsy,
mm-hmm.
you know, grievously tormented.
Yes.
But I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, but just
speak the word.
Speak a word. Speak mm-hmm. a word. Praise God. Isn't that something? That's powerful.
That is
just speak
powerful.
A word.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word has power.
Yes.
All right. So he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you got to say it. You want to finish reading
that? Yeah. Shall believe in that heart that yes. God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Now, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's clear, but you have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to believe.
Yes, yeah, believe on Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah, but yeah. believe mm-hmm. in your heart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a recording, but believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your heart is the word of God. So if you believe in your heart that God has raised up Jesus from the dead,
mm-hmm.
he says you'll be saved.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, it's all about believing.
It is believing.
Putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, we inside the fellowship there,
mm-hmm.
we have people say, "Oh yeah, well, I'm a child of God because I come to church."
Mm.
No, well, you're not a child of God because you come to church.
Mm-mm.
Because a child of God is a spiritual entity.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ is a spiritual entity. You are a child of God not because you come to church.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people think that, but not because you carry a Bible. How would you characterize a child of God?
By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, the scripture tells us that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it says here in Galatians 3 in verse 26 there,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it says that
For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
So that means that if you come to church, but if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, how could you become a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
this word is clear. We're not trying to lambast anyone out there in Radio Land because, listen, we all have to believe what the word of God says and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because without him, we can do nothing.
Yes.
Well, you want to finish reading that message?
This is, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
See, so what it is that we believe with our heart, not with our mind. And a lot of times people think that, well, you believe with your mind. No, I'm not believing with my mind. You know, I'm believing with my heart. That's where the strength is. That's where we should be believing. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Mm-hmm. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's why we go around, we keep confessing. We're just saying it. We're saying because that's what's in our heart. The word of God is in our heart. Yeah, well, you have people say, well, are you saved? Oh, yeah, yes, I am. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's in my heart. Amen. Praise God. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the scripture tells us we'll be saved. Praise God. Amen. If we believe, if you believe. Don't just go around saying something and you don't believe it. Now, in the 13th verse there, what do you want to read?
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you. So much to say, but we thank everyone out there that tuned in to the broadcast, listening to what the Lord has blessed us with His Word. But I want to tell you, you have the opportunity right now. You don't have to be guessing whether you're saved or not. You can listen to what Minister Gloria is going to tell you about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
God. All you have to do is believe the Word of God.
Just confess with the mouth. That Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whatever you do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, because he's done it all at the cross of Calvary, in Jesus' name.
Great, praise the Lord. And don't forget, now, when you come to him, you're coming with repentance. You're changing your mind. Praise God. Well, anyway, we thank you. The time has slipped away from us. And just stay tuned, because next week we will be a blessing to you as well. God bless you all out there in Radio Land is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.